asking where you guys were doing this from.
Everybody has their recording
device. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome, welcome.
Hola.
Apparently, it's like our house. Welcome, guys. Can you get something to drink? Yeah?
All right. We are going to get started with a question from Adam Campbell.
Hi guys, I'm from the UK. Just to introduce us to season two, can you just tell us what excites you the most about your characters going into this season? They're both so compelling. And will we see more of Ophelia?
Mercedes.
We will see more of Ophelia. Ophelia right now is at a point where she's lost her mother, as we saw at the end of season one. She doesn't trust her father. She thinks of him as quite the monster at the moment. So she's a little bit orphaned in that sense. She's also physically hurt. So right now, because she doesn't know who to trust anymore, she's a bit of an observer. You'll see her on the precipice, but she's kind of staying her own course and trying to figure out who she can trust and who's a friend versus a foe. But you'll definitely start seeing more of Ophelia as we go along.
I think right off the bat with the first episode of season two, you see Chris at a very dark place because like Ophelia's, Mercedes' character, Ophelia, they both lose their mother. And you really see a change in Chris, and he starts off in a very dark path and trying to accept the reality of, you know, his father taking his mom's life. So how does any 16-year-old kid accept that reality and trying to find his place in this new world and trying to rationalize the things that are going on?
Can you imagine if he was totally okay? He's like, I'm fine.
It's okay.
My dad killed my mom.
Well, it's for dinner.
It's Tuesday.
Sushi?
Next question
is
going to be sushi. Eel? Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to ask about the fact that obviously the first season was very successful, did very well. This is a longer run, mm-hmm. and it's going to be equally, if not more successful. So, obviously, there's a bigger budget. There's a grander story. It's not all online. It's not all on land. It's not just in LA. It's more of a journey. Being part of that as actors, do you kind of notice the fact that this is a bigger deal? There's more story investment. There's more financial investment and that kind of thing. Do you feel that at all on set, or is it?
I think we all know the reality of the budget of the show and what's going on and who's getting, you know. The way I look at it is I see it as like a sports team. We're all part of the team. We have a coach, you know, we have assistant coaches, and we're all part of that team trying to make the best product and trying to win, you know, the Stanley Cup.
I don't watch sports, so I don't think of it that way. We are well aware that we're taking on something a lot bigger this time around. But I think for us, it's actors, at least I'll speak for all of us. I'm hoping I'm not totally lying. But it's more excitement because it's like summer camp for us. Yeah, it's like summer camp. We get to hang out more. We're in a different location this time again. It really helps us bond. And as actors, it's so nice to be able to delve into your characters more, really. You know, we're sort of being fed a little bit more every day, and we get to know our characters more. So for me, at least, it's more exciting.
It is exciting. And I think with season one, I don't think we really talked about it that much, of like, oh, the show's going to be successful. We just took it one day at a time, and we didn't really understand the, you know,
grand
the
scheme,
the mothership of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think we don't really talk about that. We just take one day at a time.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
Angela Ortiz.
Hello again.
Hi.
Jose Torres, Estrellas in LA. I asked your co-stars earlier. I want to get your take on it. You're working with El Maestro Rubén Blades. I wonder if you're familiar with his music, and if so, what do you think about that, and did you pick up any Spanish down in Baja?
I was familiar with Ruben's work. Obviously. He's a legend in his own. I've been so blessed to be able to work with him. He's incredible. He's a lot of fun on set as well. We take moments, because we have so many scenes together, where he and I sort of discuss things and figure out where we want to go with the scene before we really even get to set. So he's really good at working with me, and we sort of come to conclusions together, like, you know, do you want to do this? How do you see the scene? Or what do you think is happening? And, of course, we're all trying to figure out if we can somehow as a group go see one of his concerts. Because can you imagine? It would be incredible.
We did get dinner once in Mexico, and they played his song over.
Oh, it's amazing. Yes, you guys. We were trying to periscope it.
Yeah, he was like a
little kid. I think I periscoped it, didn't I?
You did periscope
it. Yeah. I had a few glasses of wine. I periscoped it. There was a lot of this.
Dinner was set up.
No, Ruben's awesome. I knew who he was beforehand, and he actually was in a movie a buddy of mine produced, Eduardo Verástegui, another Mexican producer actor. He was in For Greater Glory, and they knew each other, and we talked about that right off the bat. And Ruben's just awesome. He's like a wise politician,
yeah.
Sage on and off set.
He has advice about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You need that fixed? I'll fix it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll show you how. I know how.
He's a sweet man.
Yeah, I heard about him actually. I worked on the last movie with Elizabeth Peña before she passed. And so somehow his name came up, and it was almost like she knew I was going to end up working with him. So she was singing his praises, yeah. So I kind of knew of him before I even met him.
Awesome. His wife has an album coming out.
Oh.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Cool.
She knows.
She knows. You're producing it, right? She's got copies for everyone, for you, and one for you.
Like,
I wish.
Did she speak up Spanish down there?
I'm learning. I entiendo, pero aprendiendo. I'm learning because I was sadly never taught at home. We were focused on English. So, hence the accent and all that. But I'm absolutely learning, and it's nice to be in the culture and surrounded by it because that helps tremendously.
I'm trying to learn. I write stickies in my room, like
it's
the
so
door
cute.
And like yeah. Ropa and like maquillaje, like for hair makeup. Maquillaje? Maquillaje.
Maquillaje.
Yeah. I always say maquillaje. It sounds like Chinese food or something.
It's like a Japanese.
Yeah, yeah.
Him pronouncing
I'll
things
take the
is half.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. In a grande. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Doppio espresso.
Awesome. Thank you.
Our next question is going to come from Margaret.
Thank you. I was wondering how the success of the show has made a change in habits. Do you get stopped in the street? Any fan experiences?
Yeah. Have you gotten them?
You are so sweet. You're like the sweetest woman I've ever
met. All chic, looking good. I absolutely. I mean, every once in a while I'll get... I also do... I so shouldn't have answered this question. I am a crazy person, and on my Vine, I do this character to get some of my crazy out of my brain, called my weird cousin twice removed.
I've seen that.
So I literally have people at the airport, whatever, stopping me, asking me to do the weird cousin. They're like, yeah, great, whatever. Can you do the weird cousin? So I have some of that. But yeah, as the success of the show started picking up, and once we aired season one, absolutely. But there's the sweetest fans.
Yeah.
Do they ask you, in regards to the show, any particular kinds of questions?
Yeah, what's going to happen? What's happening? Yeah. What can you tell
all
me? Can
time.
You tell me? So we've killed a lot. I've told them, but I've killed all of them. You'll never find their bodies, so it's fine.
They won't.
Yeah.
It completely changed my life. I mean, I've been doing this my whole life, and this has been one of the biggest opportunities, and it's been such a blessing. And the fan interaction is cool. It's I grew up with my brother. He was on a big Disney show, so I grew up with people always going up to him, and then, oh, there's your brother Lorenzo. And it was cool for him to come to my thing last night. And it's always fun to meet the fans. Someone came up to me and was like, F Rise Electronics the other week. And they were like, Nick. Hey, man. Hey, Nick.
Oh, no.
And I was like, hi. Are you Nick? They're like, are you Nick? And I'm like, no, I'm not Nick. And then this woman goes away. And then she comes back. And she goes, I mean, Chris. My boyfriend said Chris.
Oh, no.
And I was like, yeah, that's me. Nick's.
Marsha.
Yeah, yeah. It's always about Nick. Right?
Good to see you.
I'm Claudia. I'm from Brazil. And speaking of Nick, how is going to be your relationship with him and Madison in this second season after your mother's loss and something going to change?
I mean, I think Chris, where Chris is with everyone at this point is, you know, anyone that's not his dad, is he's going to be searching for something from them. So he's really, the big theme for Chris is that he's trying to, you know, get affection from everyone, but also trying to find himself at the dinner table. Where does he sit at the dinner table? You know, he's trying to become, you know, everyone, trying to get people's approval. And I think he, not only Nick and Madison, but, you know, even Ophelia, they have so much common denominators to relate to. You know, they both lost their mom and, you know, it's
don't trust our fathers.
Yeah, we don't trust our fathers. It's all daddy issues.
Oh, yeah. Major daddy issues. Season 2, daddy issues. They had to shorten it because it was a long title, but yeah.
Episode 2, daddy issues.
Yeah.
Catalina? Hi, Chris.
I love your island.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I want to ask Chris about his relationship with his father in mm-hmm. this season. Now that his mom is gone.
Yeah.
And Travis is like the only person, maybe the nearest person and the only person of his family that is going to be next to him. Mm-hmm. And after that issues you've got from the first season, how is this relationship going to be evolving during this season?
You know, I think it's interesting because it's a cool setup that they did with Travis and Chris, because when Liza was about to die, she says, you have to take care of him. And if it wasn't, you know, I think, Cliff has said this in a lot of interviews, and he makes a good point, is that if he didn't have a son to look after and he had to kill his wife, I don't think there would be any hope for him. So there's this kind of, you know, there's a, if Chris wasn't there, he wouldn't go on. You know, how would any father go on? But because he does, life still goes on, it sets up this cool dynamic of, despite where I am, you know, psychologically and emotionally, you know, I'm his son and he has to take care of me, but I have to cope with that. My dad killed my mom, and it sets up an interesting dynamic.
Thank you. We have time for a couple more questions. We'll go right here in the middle.
Hi, I'm Sebastian from Colombia. Yesterday we were talking with Cliff, and he told us he had a dream the night before with zombies. I want to know if that has happened to you, dreaming with zombies on, or how it affects your life in some way.
Do you have a story? I do. Of course. It is. Ridiculous. I'm married recently, and my husband's an actor as well, so we travel quite a bit, and we're usually apart, which is the craziest thing. So it's rare that we're actually home at the same time, we're in the same bed. And as I start shooting this, you know when you're in between sleep and you're kind of awake but you can't tell if you're sleeping or not, so everything feels really surreal. There's been a few times where I've sort of woken up or really am asleep and I look at him and he's a full zombie and I'm just screaming in bed. Which is so much fun when you haven't spent time with your wife and every time she looks over at you in bed, she screams. We're not going to last.
No.
We're going to last. We're in love.
He's a great guy.
He's
awesome.
In
13 hours.
Yeah.
Her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Demme.
Go watch it.
My
blue. I sadly don't have any dream stories. It sucks. I don't know what to do. Maybe I should just dream of zombies. I would love to tell you guys an interesting story, but I'm just boring. Yep. I'm gonna think of one next
time.
A
good story.
I'm an actor. I should know these things. I don't have any. It's not. I don't know why. It's like a cricket when I sleep.
I had a dream that you were having a drink. No, kidding. Yeah.
Hi, Robert Kirkman said earlier that he would love to have Ed O'Neill on the show sometime.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys have a wish list of actors or actresses that you would love to have on the show?
Mine would be so random. Like, I want Lena Dunham on there.
Just yeah?
Because I love her so much. Or Chris Hemsworth, because
cool.
I love him so much. Dear Chris Hemsworth, we're both married, but I love you.
Like a love scene with Chris, please?
Yeah, could you write that? You could write that, right?
Yeah, sure.
I want your husband on
that show. I mean, me too.
I want him to play my uncle, a long-lost cousin, or a cool guy.
I'm
trouble.
Cool guy number one. Yeah, her husband. He's a beast.
Yeah, yeah, let's take two. You know who I love on the show? David Denman. Amazing.
That would be cool, though.
It would.
Do you feel safe in the show? Because it's almost like the more popular you become, the greater chance of you being killed.
I felt safe till now.
Dang it!
Yeah. It's like sort of in the back of our minds, right?
Yeah, it's definitely in the back of our minds. But it keeps you on your toes. It's fun.
Yeah. But we also don't have the blueprint like The Walking Dead does. You know, they base it loosely on, or not quite so loosely, on the comic books. So we don't have that. And it's a little scary. We never know, you know?
You know what? You just have to live in the present. Because there's no such thing as the past. There's no such thing as the future. We're only in the present.
I freak out. I wish I could live in the present.
Trying to get philosophical.
And staying with death. Death, certainly on The Walking Dead, have been very creative, and more so recently. If your characters did die, I mean, I'd love to see you in the third series and everything, but if they did die, how would you like to die? In the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got an idea. You go ahead.
Oh, I got a great one,
go,
actually.
Go.
Did you ever see, what was it, Platoon? Or was it Full Metal Jacket? William Dafoe, he was in Platoon?
No.
It's, you know, where he's running in the forest at the end and he just gets shot and then he's on the ground? That'd be beautiful.
Do you want to be shirtless like he was?
Yeah. 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 I'll get all ripped for that scene.
I meanwhile, I'm apparently not as cool and super violent. I want to go through this whole, you know, philosophical existential crisis and then maybe just swallow a hand grenade. Like, have my head just... Like, I want everybody to have some of my brain matter on them.
Oh. You just put those images in my head.
Now you're going to have nightmares. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I don't want sushi anymore. McDonald's.
Hi, my question is for Lorenzo.
See?
Being the youngest actor in the cast, who is the person you have learned the most from your...
It's tough because everyone's so smart, you know. It's not just like one person. I'm a small fish in a big pond, and you know, everyone is amazing. I think, you know, obviously I've had the most time with Cliff, and you know, he's taught me so many good lessons, like, you know, because he's a father in real life, and our character arcs, he takes it very, we both take it very seriously, and on and off screen, we're just constantly working, talking about films, talking about producing and story and art, and he's definitely been very influential on, you know, helping me grow as an actor and teaching me what to do, because, you know, you look at all of his last movies, and you remember him, you remember Cliff, and, you know, he teaches me to make something small and make it into something big so that way you're remembered. But no, everyone is amazing. Me and Mercedes, season one, we both were in our audition room together before we got it, and our director's call back, and then boom, we're in Vancouver at the lobby together at the hotel. But she's amazing.
Same.
Everyone. Kim's amazing. Frank, Alicia, it's like one big family. I can't pinpoint one person.
And Cliff's got a movie coming out called Dark Horse. We're seeing it tonight, our premiere. So you guys check it out if you can.
And our last question is going to come from.
The Dark Horse.
The Dark Horse?
The Dark Horse.
Is it The Dark Horse or just Dark Horse?
At The Dark Horse. The Dark Horse. I tweeted this morning if you didn't see it.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah, okay. Awesome. Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay.
Any strength and conditioning regimen? You guys are... It's very.
This girl! I don't want to work out with her. Just tell him.
I've now somehow been touted as the trainer of the group because I trained Coleman and then I trained Alicia. I go balls to the wall. I lose my mind. So yeah, there's a lot of weight training. There's a lot of high intensity training. So yeah, I've gone a little weak, so I almost didn't even want to show my arms right now because we've been working so much. I know, I should just have a shawl. But no, when I'm at my peak, I try to keep body fat percentage pretty low, and you know. But you know what it is: 80% diet, 20% working out. So
MMA fighter status, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean.
A little Ronda Rousey ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I could nag somebody to death, but really in the ring, The ring, I'm a beast.
I've actually been lifting since last season.
He has. You've put on some muscle, weight, yeah. We could see the changes. Yeah. That's why you want your shirt off.
Yeah.
Ah, no, I'll train you. You take your shirt off, I'll swallow grenade.
Last year in Vancouver, I lost so much weight because I was just working, and I forget. I'm one of those guys that just can go all day and forget, and I don't know how, but I lost so much weight, and then I got back from Vancouver to LA, and I'm like, I look so skinny, and I'm like, I just need to get fat. Get buff.
Hashtag gains.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.